Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to Drive Through HR. Well, it's a great climate outside, and more than that, I am so happy. My partner in crime, Willing Tinkup, is back on the show after 1 week of trip to Amsterdam. Hey, Willing, how are you doing today?
Ma, I'm just getting back to normal. I have to admit, I'm just now at the point of my sleep and, all the other stuff, just jet lag and whatever else. But I'm glad to be back. It was great. HR Tech Europe was the reason I was over there. It's a fantastic show. It's not near as big as the Vegas show that we have. The shows aren't associated in any way, shape, or form. And, in the States, it's if you're not at the show in Vegas, the HR Technology Conference, you're not relevant. Like it's almost after 17 or 18 years, whatever it is now, it really has become kind of the show of shows. If you're not there, you're just you may as well not be in business. Whereas in Europe, it's not quite that way. It's only this is the fourth year of the show, but still probably a little bit over 2,000 people there, and it was just a good show. But glad to be back. Glad to be, back on Drive Through HR, and glad to have Chris with us today.
Oh, yeah. So
All
let's
right.
get right to it. Hey, Chris. Welcome
Hi.
to Drive Through HR.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So, Chris, for those of our audience who doesn't know of you, we would really, really appreciate if you can kick off the show by giving them a brief intro of who you are and what you do.
Sure, happily. So I'm Chris Ostich. I'm the founder and CIO, or C something, C lots of things at BlackBook HR. We are a business that is making a name for ourselves in the engagement space. We build products for companies and leaders who are really rethinking their employee engagement efforts. So, really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, what's keeping you up at night today? Like what's top of mind for you these days?
Well, I mean, the fact that I didn't get to go to HR Tech Europe is, a repetitive nightmare for me now. So next year we'll make sure that happens. But I think coming right off of HR Tech Vegas and then trying to run into HR Tech Europe is just that would have been a tall order.
Well, I need you to get your game face ready. Get you, as T.O. would say, get your popcorn ready, because
All right.
next year they're almost back to back. So
Well,
it'll be
great.
in Vegas on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday type bit, and it'll be in Paris, not Amsterdam. It'll be in Paris the following Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay, on the
So
calendar as I'm sitting
go
here.
ahead and kind of emotionally get ready for that. Do whatever you have to do. But yeah, I believe the way I talked to my wife about it last night. I think the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to fly to Vegas, do the bit, and then on Wednesday fly back, grab her and the kids, and then we'll all go to Paris together.
Well,
So
yeah, that sounds
yeah.
nice. And
Yeah, right?
well,
We'll make it a family, the family,
that
it'll
sounds
be the
great.
family vacation in Paris.
I can't imagine the pressure as a vendor at HR Tech is immense enough, just because you're trying to
Yeah.
see everybody and talk to everybody. But I can't imagine what it's like to be the person on the other end of the courtship process. when we're excited enough to get somebody that shows up at the booth,
Right.
imagine I can imagine that practitioners and attendees were probably as exhausted as we were, post the event. But awesome event for us this year.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the solution, so that you did a little bit in the intro there, but just rewind this back, because everyone cares about engagement. In fact, it's something that if you don't care about it, you don't have a pulse. But kind of
Either
break it
that,
down.
or you have a despise or hatred of the metric, which is something we're seeing more and more of.
Well, it's the cynics. And you got to convert the cynics. So the cynics are like, yeah, I get it. Engaged employees are good. Thank you. And they also, if they breathe air and have blood running through their veins, got it. Totally understand. But like convincing them to like how you do that, Take us into the solution for a moment.
Sure, happily. Actually, when we showed up at HR Tech, we sort of brought to market two new solutions. The product that we're known for is called Sense, the first employee engagement platform. And when I say platform, I say that because it is a broader solution than the typical way that this is done, which is an annual HR measurement. So we built a tool that has several interdependent parts. You know, one is a really intelligent survey technology, one that actually learns from your workforce and then interacts with it over time, rather than a point in time measurement. The second part of that tool is that it provides real time insights and analytics about what's happening in the workforce at that moment. And on the other end of the tool, one of the challenges that we hear from practitioners and organizational leaders and people who are responsible for engagement or surveys in organizations is that there's always the now what. So what do we do with this information? And so the product that we built actually generates things for, or solutions, tools, actions, both for the organization and the employee. So that's another thing that just is a little different about the approach is that part of this tool is designed specifically to help the taker of that survey, the employee, by giving them tools and solutions and action plans to actually take ownership of their engagement data and do something about it. So, sorry, go ahead.
No, what's changed in the frequency? Because people might confuse this with the engagement surveys or the employee satisfaction. I'm using air quotes, but you can't see them. Employee satisfaction surveys of yesteryear. What's changed in frequency? Like, do you want to know how people are feeling, like on a second by second basis, by a weekly basis? Like, what's the right time frame that we should be thinking about these days?
Well, I would love to get to a point where we're at a second by second basis, but we just can't. I don't think we can ask employees questions that often. So, the tool that we built has frequency as often as weekly. So we gather these little pulses in a weekly fashion. Or, honestly, the organization has a throttle, so they can control how often the tool communicates with the workforce. I'm personally kind of fascinated in trying to find passive sort of data sources that are not necessarily a survey. You're not asking an employee to log in or to click something or to, give you more of their feedback, but instead looking at additional data sources that would give us some ideas about engagement, satisfaction, and sentiment. So maybe an email archive or social analysis on Twitter, stuff like that.
And where should this be connected to? So if you have engagement data in one place, where else should it inform? Should it inform succession or performance or payroll or wellness? Like, where do you see the edges of where this data can inform us and make us kind of smarter HR people?
Well, it's a great question. Actually, this is an interesting segue into the tool that we showed everybody at HR Tech a couple of weeks ago, which is called RNA. That just stands for Relationship Network Analysis. We worked really hard on the branding on that one, as you can tell. But so the tool is actually designed, it's a network insights tool that actually visualizes the informational, but also the relationship networks of an organization. So the idea that, work gets done through the org chart is kind of an old way to look at this thing. I think we mentioned in the demo that the leadership typically pays attention to the rock stars and the whiners, and unfortunately, they only account for 15% of the labor spend of any organization. So the question is, what about everybody else? And so we built this tool that actually helps you visualize how information is distributed, how work gets done, who relies on who to do their jobs. And that, what we found is that there are these new insights like that, as an example, like RNA, that can inform, talent management decisions across the life cycle, from everything from succession planning to, prevention of knowledge loss. So, and with this tool, we were seeing organizations use it to imagine the power of just being able to say, let's look at William in the organization, and I can identify all of the people that rely on William to get their work done. Imagine if we were going to move William from where he is today to the same job but in Singapore. So we sort of yank him out of the network and put him in a new place. But what about, how can we manage that network of people that rely on William intentionally? And how can we manage that transition and find somebody else to fill in William's shoes? So I think the answer there is that these new insights that companies like ours, and there are lots of other really powerful technologies in the market today, but coming up with these new insights that are informing decisions literally anywhere in the cycle, or this, you look at the relationship network insight, and it can be applied to just about any part of the talent management lifecycle.
Well, Chris, you kind of talked about the measurement in the very beginning. So, what are some metrics that you would suggest to your clients when it comes to measuring employee engagement?
So, can you ask that one more time? I'm sorry. You said you want to know about measurements?
Yeah. What are some metrics that you would suggest to your clients when it comes to measuring employee engagement?
Perfect. I think one of the challenges, this would be a good, response to that question you asked me in the very beginning, which is like, what keeps you up at night? And one of the things that that keeps me up all the time is that every organization is different. Every organization's metrics are independent. They're, a company has its own DNA. So for us, I think one of the things that's been both a challenge but also a huge opportunity is to build products that fit the company, that don't just apply a general approach to engagement. So, we have out-of-the-box solutions to measure those things that give us outputs about people's drive and commitment and attachment and connectivity and things like that. But what we found is that every organization approaches engagement a different way. So part of the exercise is understanding for the organization what that actually means and then working backwards from there. So it could be, a combination of understanding a traditional engagement measurement combined with job satisfaction, or could be that in traditional engagement measurement combined with the relationship network analysis. So I think that for us, the challenge is understanding for each organization what's the DNA around their engagement. I think I've heard William say this before, that engagement isn't the thing; engagement is the means to the thing. So it's a means to performance or retention of your best people, or it's not the actual thing. So hope that's helpful.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And I totally agree with you when you said it is a means rather than just a tool, right? And you talked about approaching employee engagement in a different way. So what do you recommend to our audience when it comes to, totally rethinking about what they do around employee engagement?
Well, it's unfair. I think it's unfair. HR people, organizational leaders, people that are in the people function, it's unfair right now. When you look at the tools and the resources that marketers have, salespeople, sales teams, there is no shortage of insights, technology. There are companies, you have sales teams with systems like Salesforce and phones that automatically dial themselves. Yet we're still stuck with, in many cases, data that's stale. It's not real time. It's not a holistic approach to what we're trying to do. So in nine out of 10 cases, the kinds of companies that we're working with are the ones that sort of are looking at their landscape about how do we measure engagement, how do we improve engagement, and they know that there's a better way. We don't always know what that is. Sometimes, sometimes people just say, if I'm sending out an annual survey in March and I'm getting responses from my employees back, and let's say 30 days later or 60 days later, I've got the data in my hands now I can report that back to leadership. And then maybe another 60 days after that, we start implementing changes and strategies. Most people can see the flaw in that methodology is that, you know, when you're 6 months in between the when you actually measured and then when you're actually doing things, if you're doing things at all. So most of the organizations that we see today are moving away from, you know, the annual kind of point in time measurement and looking for, you know, what's next. And so we talk a lot about being in the Netflix age, kind of where we are today, and running this very important and strategic initiative through a point in time measurement like an annual survey is crazy. It's like using a DHS player and 8-track in when we're in this in the Netflix age. So most of what we see today are people that are, you know, that know that there's something else there, and we're helping them kind of see the way.
All right, you mentioned the word insights several times, so I want to kind of get to what's the responsibility of the vendor to make sense of what the data is saying, meaning. And it's just a belief of mine. Of course, you can tear it apart, but it's big data is one of these things that it can be everything. It's all the world's oceans all combined together. Great, fantastic. You have access to water, but how do you make sense of all that? Which is probably the overwhelming part that all recruiters and HR people feel. What's their responsibility, and what's the technology community's responsibility to make sense of where we're at right now?
That's a great question, actually. And one of the philosophies that we have around here is that relevant is the new big. I completely agree with you. You know, the big data conversation is ever prevalent. We're never going to get away from it, but that doesn't help me do my job. So insights are, I think, almost completely on the responsibility of the vendor. I mean, we take almost creating insights as a service very seriously. That's an approach that we've applied simply because we know that when you have an organization of 70 or 70,000 people, even 70 people can feel enormous. And unless we have the ability to kind of not just make it local, but kind of break it up into pieces that become stories, that is a big deliverable for us, is that how can we help these, really what is just quantitative information, how can we help tell a story? The person that's looking at that dashboard of charts and graphs and trends and risks. So I think that, and I think that the vendors that are winning now are the ones that are making the lives and the jobs of the practitioner or the user easy. And part of that ease of use is not just about, you know, 5 years ago it was about, oh, is it pretty and does it work well and, you know, how does it make me feel? Today, it's got to teach you something. It's got to deliver you value that, you know, gives you the opportunity to show up better prepared for a meeting or, you know, ability to ask for that next promotion. And that's, you know, that's where companies, I think, today in the vendor landscape are going to win.
So values, engagement, and culture, what's the relationship between these three things in your mind?
Between values, relationship, and culture?
No, relationship is, I'm asking, what is the relationship between the three things of values, corporate culture, and employee engagement?
Okay. Well, just a quick story. I had a call this morning with an organization that had, I think everybody's probably been here before, but a meeting of 100 employees, and the leader of the organization was really upset and let that kind of come out into the organization. And I think one of the quotes was something like that I can't be responsible for the culture. You know, you make the culture. And what's really interesting about that is that, you know, the CEO is the one that almost controls the weather. You know, it's the attitude, the atmosphere, the culture of the team is and can be created by the people that work in it. But to see the leader have, you know, the influence almost to, like I said, to change the weather, is something that has really profound effects on organizations, large or small. So it was a real example of just today how we saw, if I had asked about levels of engagement today in that organization, you'd have seen a very, very dark picture about what's happening. So I think that's around the point. Being in an early stage, you know, growing startup, and I think we bring this unique perspective to the market, and I think more organizations should look at and study why the teams and the cultures of startups are so well executed. Story after story, and in fact, like lots of the successful companies today that we're looking at for, you know, their people operations, so the Googles of the world, the Zappos, they were all startups in the last 10 or 15 years. And the companies, it's just really fascinating for me to see the companies who've grown exponentially like that and have maintained a lot of that startup culture are still succeeding. They're outperforming their peers. So I think that, you know, and back to your point about, you know, data and bringing big data small, I think that the connection between engagement, values, and the culture of the organization, you know, is really about this decision that people make to contribute to the good of the organization at large. And you only have 12 people. We're not a big team. This is small. But, when a developer that wakes up on Saturday morning and decides that because the, you know, software framework that he works in released a new product, he sits down and builds like a little prototype of a tool we've been kind of talking about internally on a Saturday morning. And, you know, would that happen in an organization that he wasn't sort of committed to driving it, you know, being a big part of moving this thing forward? And the challenge in massive organizations is I just don't think you have the opportunity to see the value of your work come to life like you can in a small company. So I'll stop there and then.
All right. Tough question. Now it's time for a tough question. All these have been softballs up till now.
Oh,
tough
great.
Question. Is there a diminished return to employee engagement? And if so, what is it? If not, why?
So, I mean, is there a diminishing return? Does it?
Yeah, at one point. Can you do too much? Do you tap out?
I haven't seen it. If anybody could show me an example of an organization that's tried too hard, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see the only thing that comes to mind for me there is that engagement is, in my opinion, highly connected to authenticity as well. And if, if those things don't come from an authentic place, if you implement procedures and systems and unlimited paid time off and flexible work schedules, but those things aren't, if they don't come from an authentic place and they aren't supported by leadership and they're not driven into the culture of the organization, then yes, I would. Those efforts will be for naught, and your dollars are poorly spent. So I think it, you know, connected to authenticity. I'd love to see examples of anybody out there whose companies have tried too hard to engage them. I would appreciate that kind of effort from my employer.
All right. So we have about 5 minutes left at this point, Chris, and we would really want to hear some of the fascinating story of your startup journey. And thanks for sharing a little bit of glimpse of your work culture and how you share your time with your, you know, developers on a Saturday morning, which is just really great to hear. So Black Book HR, such a really unique name, right? How did this name come, and then what was your inspiration to start Black Book HR?
Sure. Most entrepreneurs, I'd often say that we're either born out of education or out of pain. And I was one that was sort of crafted out of pain. I was kind of bumped around a lot professionally and educationally in my life. And I ended up in the Midwest where I didn't have any connections or knew no one. So working in an environment, you know, the corporate world with little to no social or professional mm-hmm. capital, it was very hard for me to feel like I could be successful here. And as high as I raised my hand and as loud as I was in employee surveys, I just didn't feel like I was heard. And that initially was how I started. I thought there was a better way to listen and hear from our employees. And more importantly, or equally as importantly, one of the tools that I needed to be successful was a way to connect with other people and information that was relevant to me. So we started out by building a tool that was kind of like a match.com for employees. And it, not a great idea in 2008 or 9 when that kind of got shoved into onboarding. So people would come into a new job and it would instantly sort of say, here are other people in the job that share things in common with you. When onboarding was, people were not hiring much in 2008 and 2009. It was a really tough place to be. But we had the good fortune of, you know, Procter & Gamble and Macy's, you know, signing up and saying, let's do this. So the name, initially, when we would run people through this profiling tool, it would create an online platform for them to connect with other people. But the other thing we would do is manufacture these books that were, you know, connections to people, resources in the community, and information that was relevant highly to that person. So we actually created these little black books for every single person that used our product. That has changed. We sort of deliver that electronically, but the name has stayed.
Wow, interesting. So, first sale, that is the one event that you guys are really, really looking forward to, right? And that goosebumps that is happening when you have that first sale that is happening. So how was it? How was that experience for you? Describe that experience.
Oh, gosh. I mean, the experience of kind of growing this company from, a relative unknown a couple of years ago to starting to build a name for ourselves as an innovator in this space has been a wild, wild ride. I would not be honest if I said that it's been cupcakes and ponies or whiskey fountains over the last couple of years. There, it can be a battle, particularly when 4 or 5 years ago, most venture capitalists and investors didn't pay. There wasn't a lot of attention being paid to anything that had something to do with human resources or human capital. Now that has changed, and that fundamentally has been one of the biggest shifts that I've seen in the business. I mean, when you go to HR Tech year over year, so this year we managed to win an award for being an awesome new startup. Last year to this year, the conference has probably grown by 200 vendors. There was an entire section of the conference devoted to startups, 24 or 28 companies that fell into this early stage category. Granted, we could only afford 36-inch cocktail tables in the corner of the of the venue, but at the end of the day, it was a very successful conference for us. So I think the future is extraordinarily bright, not just for the vendors in the space, but more importantly for the people doing the work. I think that we're just starting the beginning of this era of the human capitalist.
Well, thanks for sharing that amazing journey with all of our audience. So, Chris, thank you so much for being here with us and sharing your lunch time and valuable insights about employee engagement to all of our audience. So where can they connect with you and get a hold of you?
I'm easy to find. Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at blackbookhr.com. On Twitter, I'm Chris Ostich, C-H-R-I-S-O-S-T-O-I-C-H. Pretty easy.
All right. So thank you, Chris, for being here with us today, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thanks. I'm going to go eat lunch. You guys. Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Chris. Bye.